Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to get physical as we welcome our fitness guru, Kai Fuser of Golf Fusion. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we wanted to, well, delve back into a couple of guys that are really making things happen from an instruction standpoint. Not just an instruction standpoint, an immersion standpoint. And we happen to see our good friend, Kai Fuser, who was in Orlando and up on stage, and his partner in crime, Dylan Ross, was up on as well. Now, Dylan is in the middle of a lesson. And we broke Kai away from what he was doing because he's always doing something. So we want to get him back on the show and say, Kai, welcome back to the show. It was great to see you in Orlando, and thanks for coming on.
Hello, Keith. It's always a pleasure to come on.
Well, thank you. For those who are unfamiliar with Kai, and if you listen to this show, you should not be that, but he is a golf fitness specialist and has a master's in science and also in case you were wondering, he has a master's degree in nautical engineering. I don't think we've talked about that before, but this guy knows his way around a surfboard and some other stuff. But Kai also has been an athlete over the years, and he's gone on to work with the greatest female golfer probably on the planet ever, in Annika Sörenstrand, who we often had to happen to see and get a chance to chat with down in Orlando. So that was great to see her, and of course Mike was nearby. And up there on behalf of Ely Callaway. But that's a different story for a different day. But it was good to see you. I was a little surprised. Well, I shouldn't be surprised ever to see Kai Fuser up on a stage somewhere espousing the virtues of golf fitness. However, I turned a corner, and there you were up there with Dylan. So it was great to see you guys. And you're doing great things down in West Palm Beach.
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot going on now here. You came to visit our facility down West Palm Beach, Golf Fusion. We're right across the street from the park. You know, don't know, Keith, if you ever did go to the park. We have a new course here. An amazing municipal course, great practice facilities and everything. And, you know, Tiger was involved in that and in the development of it and everything. So, yeah, we're right in the middle of things with a little bit of a new concept of really merging golf instructions with, if you want to call it fitness. I've been trying to find a better word than golf fitness because fitness is easy. It's more like golf movement patterns, maybe I want to call it.
You know, it's interesting because the vernacular is changing amongst us. And it's the same way with golf instruction, or they want you to warm up your game, don't practice, and, you know, all these other kind of things to get your mind in a different space. And you have been getting people's minds in different spaces for years because not many people like to work out. Annika was certainly an extreme example of just the opposite, because she just loved that and get in the gym with you, mm-hmm. which is something unto its own. But most people do not have that drive to do that every day, even when it comes to working on their golf game.
Right. So, what I've learned over the years, obviously, you know, you're right with Annika. She was a true athlete, and I noticed that, you know, first time I worked out of her, it was back in 2001, you know, after the season. So, you know, she was a true athlete. She loved working out, which obviously helped me a lot to, you know, teach her what I wanted to teach her. And she put the time in, the effort in, the grit in, the brains into it. And obviously it paid off, you know. But a lot of people, I think, were a little bit afraid of fitness. Again, we, you know, let's find a better word for it. Because we're like, what's that going to help me with my swing? I don't want to get too strong. And back then in 2001, you know, it was like, you know, the thought was like, oh my gosh, don't get too strong. It's going to hurt your swing. You know, you're going to get stiff and you don't want too many muscles and this and that. which obviously was proven to be wrong. You know, it of course depends, you know, what kind of strength you build and how you use your strength, how you put it into a swing and all that. But I think people need to realize, and that's something I learned, you know, when we had the Anika Academy over at the reunion for several years, and now what we're doing here at Golf Fusion, where interaction between Dylan as a swing coach and myself as a golf movement coach, let's say, maybe, you know, we're just 4 inches from each other. There's just one wall between his domain and mine, and we work together so much, and a lot of times you can just learn the movement patterns that the golf coach wants you to do much faster without a club in your hands in front of a mirror. And so we can really help each other. I try to make his life easier. You know, really, that's what it comes down to.
Well, isn't that really what it's all about? Because the golf ball gets in the way. Now, you see this? I love going to the driving range, not for myself, but just to watch people and their struggles. And, you know, the struggle is real, so to speak. But it's as soon as you put a golf ball down in front of somebody, it's just like this stop sign. And they just don't swing. That nice fluid swing they may have had before goes away instantaneously.
Right. I mean, I think everybody knows that feeling. Some more, some less, right? If you think about it, when kids start playing at a young age, putting, you can see it, right? They just putt, you know, they look at it and just putt. We don't know, you know, that the ball might go too far left or right or past a hole or is too short. They just see the hole and go at it, and they're very good at it fairly quick. Of course, there's no bad memories, right? And it's the same in the swing. If you start as a, you know, 5, 6, 7 year old, you know, you don't know that the ball can go in the water or that it's going to hit, you know, a house on the fairway somewhere. Or that you're going to lose the ball, they just hit it. They don't have that in their head yet. But the longer we play, especially later we start, we get a lot of bad memories of lost balls, of, you know, bad shots and embarrassments and this and that. And that all gets ingrained in our brain, you know, it all goes into our memory bank. And so you put the ball down after your beautiful practice swing, or you do your practice swing, you know, 6 inches behind the ball before you step forward and hit it. Practice swing is nice and loose. Oh my gosh, beautiful. And all of a sudden, you know, something quite different comes out. Of course, that ball is there. And that's just, you know, the things we have in our brain, subconsciously or consciously, doesn't really matter at that point. It just messes with you quite a bit. And my advantage is here in the gym, we don't have a ball laying in front of you. You know, you can stand upright, you can watch it in the mirror, we can load you up with some weight through different tools, if it's a cable or a medicine ball or a dumbbell or, you know, and then, you know, you're free to move. We can watch it in the mirror. You can control it through the resistance. You have more feedback. You learn which muscles are accelerating, which muscles are slowing down, which ones do I have to let go, and so on. We're, you know, with a ball in front of you, a whole different ball game, you know. And in that regard, you know, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit right now, but, you know, I think a lot of times we need to practice a swing without a ball flight, meaning hitting it into a net or into a screen without having a screen on, just to concentrate what's going on, you know, from your setup to your impact, not what's going on 100, 200 yards down the road.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, Kai. We're talking to Kai Fuser on Teed Up with Keith Jones, our fitness guru far and away, but also a guy who has done so well for the likes of not only Annika Sorenstam, but so many other professional golfers along the way. 15 major championships, over 150 tournament wins across the LPGA, PGA, European Tour, and even in Japan on the LPGA Tour over there. So Kai knows his stuff, and he certainly is a physical performance kind of guy. But to that point, I think that's what people who get over a ball look. They're already looking where they want the ball to go, versus looking down at the ball to make sure they hit the ball so it can go where they want it to go.
Right, yeah. And, you know, you probably heard it too. You know, Rory was talking about it maybe, I want to say, 3 months ago or so, that he was getting into somewhat of a swing change. And he said the first few days, all he did is hitting into a black screen just to be free of any, you know, results for some time. And that's Rory, which, you know, arguably he's probably one of the best players out there, having the best feel for the club and where his body is and all that, right? So you can imagine for an amateur or for us normal guys, you know, it's a whole different, you know, it's getting even much harder than that. So I think it's very critical that we learn the right steps to teach ourselves something and, you know, and go in steps with that. You know, of course, we got to go on the range at some point, put the ball down and watch the ball flight and see what we can maybe manipulate the ball flight and so on and draw some conclusions out of it. But we got to go in steps with that and just don't drive, you know, our head into a wall constantly by just, you know, looking at results, immediate results.
Well, Kai, you've worked with a lot of professional golfers, as I mentioned. What do you think that Rory is working on?
I don't know, to be honest. I just, you know, saw that, I read that, that how he approaches it when he does a swing change, you know. And another thing I noticed, which I've been, you know, a little bit of a different subject in a way right now, but you know, also a couple months ago, you know, he has been seen with a short club in his hands, right? So he can swing it at home, anywhere, and just, you know, do some free swings. And I've been telling people that for years now, get a short club, you know, get one, you know, from your buddy, cut it down, and have a short club where you can swing it anytime, anywhere, and get in front of a mirror and swing one arm, right arm, left arm, both arms, and so on, just to get the feeling of swinging, not lifting, not manipulating, not, you know, being overly analytic about it, just swing, 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 and feel the freedom of a club movement.
I'm not sure I've asked you this question before, but I'm going to ask it now. What do you think about weighted clubs, you know, even the short ones?
I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Obviously, you know, you want to be careful of how heavy it is. You want to be careful of how hard you want to, you know, how much you want to accelerate, how much you want to, you know, how fast you want to swing that club, you know. Are you warmed up, you know, especially lower back, shoulders? I would say, you know, it's important, of course, that club, if it's a weighted club, it can pull a lot of weight on you. I mean, even on a driver, you know, it can pull 40 pounds on you on the downswing. So imagine you have a heavy club and you accelerate that, it can have a lot of pull. So you got to be careful with that. But I think to feel what's going on and do some easy swings and maybe feel your club path, your swing path, your, you know, shoulder rotation, hip turning against the shoulder on the downswing, that's where a heavy club, you can feel much more than a regular club, you know, a light club. And we do it with a dumbbell. You can use a 5-pound dumbbell or so and just hold it in two fingers, right arm or left arm, and just rotate, you know, kind of like create a pendulum, and you feel what's going on. You feel when you accelerate back how, you know, the weight of a club or the weight of the dumbbell pulls your shoulders to the right and helps get you into the right position. So you can learn how to depend a little bit on the force that you create and just follow that force, and instead of just trying to create everything from zero. So basically, you know, getting into a pendulum motion and follow the forces that you created.
Yeah, see, dumbbell always sneaks in somehow. Does, you know, never fails with Kai Fuser.
No way around it.
I'll tell you that. That's no question about that. So, but a lot of these training platforms are working on resistance and the like, which equates to weight. Do you buy into those type of apparati as well?
What do you mean by resistance? You mean like machines, more or less?
You know, like a bar with an elastic band or something you would put into the door, that type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, resistance is important for two reasons. Number one, you know, you want to, if you can do a movement without resistance, it doesn't mean you can do the same movement and control it just the same as with resistance. It's kind of like, you know, if you have a good swing at your most comfortable distance with your most comfortable club, and let's say it's a 7-iron and you hit it, you know, 170 or whatever it is, and you're comfortable with it, but now you're in between clubs and you got to hit a 7-iron an extra 10 yards, is it the same movement pattern still? Of course, you need to go faster now. It's the same with weights, right? If I do an exercise, let's say I do a straight caper rotation, it's a rotation that mimics a golf swing in an upright position.
With Kai Fuser, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Annika Sorensen, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
And we're back with Kai Fuser, our fitness guru, but also a man making it happen down in West Palm Beach as a golf movement coach. We're going to throw that in. That's going to be his new moniker versus that golf fitness specialist. We'll get rid of that. Maybe it's golf movement specialist. We're not sure on that. So
we're almost there on that.
Tweaking. Keep tweaking the golffusion.com website. Fantastic facility, West Palm Beach, Florida, across from the park. And if you've never been to the park, I drove by it, I waved. So next time I come to see the facility, I will make sure I spend a little extra time at the park. But Kai Fuser's with us this hour, and let's talk about replicating the golf swing and building power and through resistance and stuff. And I know there's one saying that you like to say. Say what the saying is that you like to say. You have many sayings.
Many sayings. One of them would be, I just mentioned it earlier, be as strong as you can be, but don't use the strength. And there's another saying I like to use is the power of letting go, meaning let the body flow, accelerate, but then let it flow, let it run. There's nothing you can do to make it any better or faster if you put strength into it at a certain point once an object is moving. So basically what that means is, yes, we all can produce a lot of power on a downswing. You go in the backswing and you just produce a lot of power on a downswing. Question is, that power you produce, the impulses you produce, the forces you produce, where do they go? Do they really get set free and end up in the club head, subsequently in the ball? Or do you tuck a little bit, pull a little bit, push and this and that, spine angle changes, now a lot of that power that you produced goes back into your body, and now you got to deal with it, meaning you got to compensate, a lot less power ends up in the club head, and so on. So that's what I call the power of letting go.
All right, you said be as strong as you want to be, but don't use strength. Break that down.
Okay. So, typically what you would see, and again, I'm talking mainly about amateurs, even though with some pros, it's the same way. And well, we're at pros, I throw it right out there. Some people might throw something at me here. Look at Tiger back in the days. He played with a lot of strength. I think everybody can picture that, his swing in the 2000s, same time I worked with Annika at the time, started 2001 and in the 2000s. There was a lot of power involved, a lot of strength involved. Of course, he was a very, very strong guy. And there was a lot of locking involved of joints, right? Locking out the left knee in the finish and so on. So obviously he paid for it at some point. Of course, nobody can sustain that for too long. Something will break down. So there's two things about that. Number one, wear and tear on your body. If you don't let the forces flow that you created, that's part of, letting it go. But also if you accelerate through strength rather than dynamics and setting the object free, your body has to deal with it. And again, you can only do it so many times. And that's what we want to avoid. And also at the same time, a muscle under tension is always slower than a muscle without tension. So if you squeeze that club, all of a sudden you're slowing down your arms. If you pull on your shoulders with a muscle activation, you're slowing down the shoulders. So that's where, you need strength in order to produce speed, but you only use the strength to accelerate. After that, you gotta let it go. Don't keep holding on. Don't try to make more out of it by squeezing and let's say hitting versus swinging.
Interesting. People are always concerned the club's going to fly out of their hands, but the lighter touch is obviously the more effective way to go.
Absolutely. And it's not only the grip. Obviously, you need to grip it. And, we want to find the fine line of, having control of a club, having control of our grip, but no more than that. Maybe have, 1 or 2% of safety in there, but that's about it. But it's the same with, forearms. It's the same with bicep, tricep. It's the same with shoulders. It's the same, with your legs. There's a fine line of finding the optimized strength level to use to, get something moving. And one example I love to use is when you walk, or when anybody walks, can you feel your weight when you walk? And unless you have an injury or, you know, some disability, when you walk, you don't feel your weight. You're kind of floating above the ground. Pick up at weight, your body weight. Pick it up, you know, if somebody weighs 100 pounds, 180 pounds, go ahead and pick up a 180-pound barbell. That's a lot of weight. Yet you can accelerate that weight over the ground at 2, 3, 4 miles an hour, and you don't even feel that weight, and you can do it for 1, 2, 3, 4 miles.
That's pretty crazy. As we're with Kai Fuster, head to the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
We are back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Kai Fuster, our fitness guru and a guy who knows all kinds of stuff about golf movement and stuff and other stuff and dumbbells. Believe me, I've been both on both sides of that. So, but Kai spent the hour with us espousing his virtue. This guy is just world-renowned and world-renowned person, too. So I appreciate it, Kai. Always enjoy having you come on. You guys have done fantastic stuff down in West Palm Beach, but really more across really across the globe and across the U.S., certainly, because what's been going on in Orlando the weeks ago that – you were up on stage and trying to what were you trying to get across to people that were at your symposium?
Well, there it was obviously it was at on the TPI stage at the PGA show, and what Dylan and I were talking about is basically the interaction between the swing coach and myself as a movement coach, if you want to call it. And how tightly we work together and how critical it is that you work together. You know, it used to be back then when I started, you know, the whole fitness thing started for golf in early 2000. It was like the golf coaches were absolutely afraid of what we're doing here. What do you know about the swing? And you know, we don't want any strength and this and that. You know, it was quite a battle back then. And, you know, obviously that changed quite a bit, you know, Annika on her side, Tiger on his side. And then nowadays, if you go out on tour, and I traveled a lot on tour for girls and with the guys, you know, there is a full gym in the big tractor trailer. There is a gym at the clubhouse. There is a gym available for them in town. They bring their trainers. They, you know, so it's a thing now. There is no way around it anymore. And the golf coaches, they understand now, and they understand how we can help them. You know, if you want to teach somebody a movement, but the person can't get into that movement, of course, let's say, you know, he's not strong enough, doesn't have control of the balance, doesn't have a control and feel of the hips, wherever hips are in space, doesn't know how to, you know, accelerate through a good hip and shoulder turn and so on, he's going to be struggling trying to teach that person a better swing or taking swing faults out of him. So I can go and teach them movement patterns that are, you know, universal that you can instill and use in a swing. You know, one of the big ones, for example, is keeping the spine angle the same. A lot of people lift up, the shoulders come up, and then, you know, the whole distance between club head and ball changes, and now you got to come back down again in order to hit the ball. So you're halfway breaking your back on the way down to get back down there. You know, becoming flat on the way back and then coming over the top and so on. Those are things I can teach somebody much, much quicker in the gym on how to keep a spine angle, how to create a pendulum. And that's really what it's about. And that's what we talked about on stage. You know, we took some swing faults and I showed some swing fault exercises. You know, somebody bumping the hip too much, I showed an exercise I call a straight rotation where you rotate from right to left under a load. And then, you know, again, you accelerate from ground up, accelerate hips accelerate upper body accelerates the arms. And, you know, and you do that all within like a cylinder where you rotate around your axis instead of, you know, sliding your hip to the left or throwing your upper body into it. So this is what we did there, basically showing the tight connection between movement patterns in the gym, how we help in the swing.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned TPI, Titleist Performance Institute, and their presence at the stage and at the show, because even years before I got to know you, Kai, I found this guy, or he found me, I'm not sure how it worked, Greg Rose, Dr. Greg Rose. And he and Dave Phillips started the Titleist Performance Institute under the guidance, with the guidance of Wally Uline, who saw what it could mean. So to go from Advantage Golf, where I first worked with Greg, which was in the D.C. area, where he had a small little shop with some ideas, to where it is now, it's just, I shake my head all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
Because I mean, it's not only is it a huge segment of the golf industry now, I mean, you can get jobs, and you can really help people. And I mean, these are the things that everybody shied away from, because golfers now are athletes, where before, and I know John Daly's an exception, but the guy it can still hit the heck out of a golf ball and, you know, take the cover off. So there's certain exceptions to those physically fit guys, but that's really where golf has gone. And it's astounding when you've been in the forefront of it, but not, you know, had the troubles to take it forward to where it's now taking itself with the guidance of certain people.
Right. Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, what the guys at TPI did, you know, again, Greg Rose and Dave Phillips, it's incredible the research they put in it, the facilities they build, and, you know, they give their knowledge away too, which I think is amazing. You know, it's all publicly available. Of course, you can do all the certifications with them and everything. I mean, it's really amazing. I love working with those guys. We put great events on, you know, the TPI Summit. I spoke at that on tour last October, and there's hundreds of swing coaches, physical therapists, trainers that come to those seminars and want to learn. And it's a thing now. There's no way around it anymore.
No, but, you know, you have your own thing. That, now, the thing about, and talking with Greg, who actually we had on the show, because we did a show from the show, but otherwise it's hard, very difficult to get him. But the thing about what he has done with TPI is he's taking it to other sports as well, baseball and such. And I know you have that kind of background anyway, because not only were you an athlete, but, you know, you as far as water skiing goes, or any of the water sports, or different things, you know, your Kai Fitness has gone there as well.
Right. And you know, it's every sport, except of bodybuilding, has the same movement patterns. It's always about loading and unloading. It's opening your body and closing your body. You know, eccentric loading, concentric loading. Backswing is eccentric. Downswing is concentric, right? So it's all the same movement patterns. And so it doesn't really matter what sport it is. For me, it was water skiing and then later wakeboarding. I was a water skier, competitive water skier, and there's huge forces on your body. Some of the top guys that I worked with, they pulled 800 pounds on the rope behind the boat.
Wow!
So they can't handle 800 pounds in the gym. They can't lift it up. But we know how to distribute that load. We know how to produce the load and then use it as an accelerator and turn it into speed. So, and that's what we want to learn. And again, it's the same in every single sport, right? And that's where it comes down to then. You can use it universally. And I'm saying bodybuilding, it's the only sport that's not the case. Nothing against bodybuilding, because I used to do some back in the days, and I loved it. Those guys work harder than most any athlete. We're in the gym, you know, 6-7 hours a day. But it's also the only sport where you don't have to move. So what I see over the years, or I've seen, is 90% of people, maybe more even, work out by bodybuilding principles, but they're not bodybuilders. They want to be better at the sport. So that's where it becomes a problem with that strength that I said, right? Bodybuilders have a lot of strength, but it's applied in the wrong way if you want movement. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it comes down to. You know, we're all designed to load and unload, to be dynamic, just like the walking example I gave a few minutes ago. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what our body's designed. You know, thousands of years ago, whatever our belief system is, we were throwing rocks. For throwing rocks, you had to rotate if you're right-hander. You know, have a rock in your hand. You started with your shoulder turned to the right. You loaded up into your right leg. You accelerated your right hip and upper body, and then your hand, your arm acted as a slingshot. So, or, you know, throwing a spear or whatever it is, right? So, and that's what we're doing today, and that's what every sport is like.
So what is it that drives you on a daily basis? Because you've been doing this for a number of years. You've had great success with great athletes, and you could just say, I've passed my knowledge on, I helped, and you know, I don't need to do that anymore. But you don't. Why?
It's just, I think it's very satisfying to see if somebody gets better at something. And you know, obviously, I worked with Annika, you know, arguably one of the best athletes in the world ever, you know. And that was obviously a super... super experience. I had the perfect student. She was listening. She put it all into play. She did everything perfect. You know, there's not many athletes like that out there. It's great satisfaction. But at the same time, like here at Golf Fusion, you know, yes, we work with some pros. But if I have somebody, I just, you know, just before we started this segment here, or before we started this interview today, I had somebody in here, 74 years old. He's still a 10 handicapper, which is obviously very good, but he lost, you know, 6 shots over the last 3 years. He wants to get them back. So now, you know, he still has decent movement patterns, but, you know, he's have a hard time holding the angles and speed, of course, setting the club free and, you know, producing more power in the club head and so on. Now that's a lot of fun to work with somebody that, and if he can hit it 5 or 10 yards further again, if he can get his handicap down again by a couple of shots, if he feels better after the round and doesn't need to go into ice baths so he can walk the next day, you know, those are great. That just satisfies me quite a bit, you know. Of course, at the end, if you can make somebody happy, it doesn't matter what level he's at or she, and, you know, I think that's what drives me the most, you know, and also just see how much, you know, what can be done. You know, let's do this together. Let's put our thoughts together and my knowledge and your effort, and let's see what we can get done.
All right, see, this is why this guy's always been inspiring to me personally. Not as motivating, believe me. Dumbbells and no, we don't talk about that around. That use that kind of verbiage when Kai is in the same room with you. But Kai Fuser is a man with many principles, and a lot of them, are in the gym, in that workout area, whatever your space is for your golf movement. I like to, you know, he says this golf movement thing. It sounds so nice. If you ever get to West Palm Beach or anywhere else in the same room with Kai Fuser, you better be ready. That's all. I'm just going to say that. I've warned you now. I've warned you, and I've warned you. So there you go. But Kai, you said a couple things there. Now, it makes that person happy, which is great. But you're trying to take, in this instance, a guy who is 75 years young. And it's old for some people. It's not old for some people. It's the number doesn't mean the person is in certain. There's no way to kind of get everybody together. I've seen 55-year-olds that look like they're falling apart. So, you know, it's the individual thing really does come through. And anybody who's younger who's listening to this will realize it when the time comes. Remember, Keith told you, and it did actually happen that way. So take care of yourself and all that kind of stuff. But what will you do specifically for this young guy to be able to do that? Because as our everything about us ages – and the elasticity decreases and all that kind of stuff, what will you do? What will you be able to do? What will make you feel like you're successful?
I mean, you know, you can still build strength, or at a minimum retain the strength you have. I think movement patterns get so important at that age, where you want to learn how to use the right muscles at the right time. What I mean by that is, you know, not using the antagonist, the opposite muscle at the same time. What happens is when we get older is the tendency of using both muscles at the same time, the antagonist and antagonist. So think about walking, right? When you walk, it's your quadricep pulls your leg up, your hamstring, you know, lands, your leg lands, and then the hamstring takes over. And it's a nice interaction between quadricep and hamstring. Of course, there's other muscles involved too, but we take those two as an example. But one has to activate, the other one has to let go. If I use both of them at the same time, now I'm walking like a robot. Whereas no more dynamics. I don't use impulses from the ground. I don't, you know, I don't get accelerated through the impulses. Now it's just muscle work, right? So that alone can make a huge difference if somebody understands that, where all of a sudden, you know, your body moves fluidly, you know, instead of, elderly walk where you basically walk with stiff legs, you know. But it's the same with your arms, you know, right arm, left arm, you know, do we work against each other in a swing, you know, your left chest and your right chest, you know, and so on. So that's one thing, for example, for somebody older that still has, you know, somewhat of strength, you know, to teach. And then that gets you a lot further than trying to, you know, be super strong and trying to do the strength.
So how much is strength overrated? Because you want to be strong enough, but as you said, don't use your strength. So how do you know when you've gotten strong enough?
That's a good question, I think. That's kind of like different for everybody. How do you know? See, I never thought about it. How do you know when you get strong enough?
Look at me.
I would say, you know, the way I do the exercise, like I explained earlier, yeah. So we learn an exercise to be perfect at a light to medium weight. Then I put higher weight on it, and I see, can you still do it exercise perfectly even though it's higher weight, or do you compensate by throwing something into it? And then the third phase is, you know, I go back to medium weight and I do 20, 30 reps of the same exercise. And every single one of those, when you string them together, looks the same, where I don't know the difference. If I would take a video of number one, number five, number 10, number 30 repetition. So in that regard, get as strong as you want, but can you still, you know, move freely? And I think that would be a measure, right? Mm-hmm. Strength is good to protect joints, for example, right? If you don't have the strength to protect your joints, your knees, your ankles, your shoulders, and so on, let's say you can produce a lot of speed, but you don't have the strength to support your joints, that can be a problem. So you need enough strength to support the movements you want to do. Obviously, when you bend over, that's not a great position for our back to be in, and you rotate. So you need a certain amount of strength in your core, spine, glutes, hamstring to support that position. Otherwise, it's going to go into your lower back. It's going to go into your upper back. It might go in your shoulder. And if we're not protected, you know, through enough strength, then something will give.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to put a number to it. But strength is always good. And again, at the end, use it right.
With Kai Fuser, we'll be back to wrap up the show after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
Back for our final segment of the show. It's been a pleasure to spend some time with a real good guy, Kai Fuser, who is, I think he should be in the Fitness Hall of Fame, but he's a golf fitness specialist for Golf Fusion. He likes golf movement coach. Listen, when you're around that guy, you better keep moving, because if he gets a hold of you, there could be a dumbbell coming your way. So just again, you've been warned. But, you know, you've had such success over your time, and but you always seem to me to be striving, and I always find great admiration in that for anybody, especially a guy like you, because you don't have to. And I'm not talking about the retirement thing or whatever. I'm just talking about the, you know, getting up. You're excited. I mean, you get to work at like 4:45 in the morning and things like that. You know, I mean, it takes a special person to be able to do that kind of stuff on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you know, that's almost like a little bit of a life question, right? Do you love what you do? And as long as you do love it, you keep doing it. So, you know, for me, I've been messing with dumbbells. I mean, literally 5 years old, my dad had a little dumbbell made for me. That was in the early 1960s, mid-1960s. So that's quite some time ago. You couldn't just go to a store and buy a dumbbell at that point back then. So he had one made at his shop, some metal worker made one, and like a 3-pounder. And, you know, I was throwing the thing around. Don't ask me how I got to that and why, but it's kind of like so ingrained into me. And I was messing with fitness stuff all my life, even as a kid. So it's very ingrained to me. And it's to the point where I see somebody walking on the street and carrying a bag, or you know, see somebody doing any activity, all of a sudden I analyze, you know, why is he moving like this? And oh my gosh, he's got too much grip, or his elbow is turned, you know, or, you know, it's like in my brain now, and I can't let it go. So I think that's, you know, that's what really keeps me going. And it's just fun. And again, if I can get somebody to do something that we love to do, even better. And then, you know, even better.
All right, so here's a pop quiz for me, because something just popped in my mind. I've seen some older people, and I'm not talking, like, you know, like 80s, whatever. They're younger than that. But men and women, they will go, like, side to side. So rather than stepping forward, which you're obviously, they are at some point, because the movement is forward and they're walking, but they'll kind of flip between left side, right side, left side, right side, if I'm saying that clearly enough for you. What is going on? What are you analyzing if you see somebody like that?
You mean the way they walk?
The way they're walking, yes. And it's like, and it's,
I mean, posture is one thing, right?
Yeah.
And posture is one thing. You can see, for example, the dynamics in the legs, you know, are we free? Are we swinging the legs? Are they, you know, you have a good roll on your foot? Does it look like you have a nice step in your step, you know, a youthful step, let's say? Does it look like you're bouncing a little bit off the ground? Of course, that means you're using good dynamics. You know, that's what I kind of see. I kind of developed a knack for that. And you know, and somebody has something in their hands and puts it from point A to point B, you know, at the airport, somebody carrying a bag or putting it into overhead bin or things like that, my brain goes already, look, you know, the hip is turned and, you know, his shoulder is down on the right side. He would be a lot better off, you know, to keep it all in line and so on and so on. So it's, yeah. I don't know how to turn it off.
I just pictured you in a plane right now telling that guy he wasn't putting the overhead bag in correctly and do about 10 of those in a row. Let me look at you. Do that again.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Hey, use your core, you know, connect the upper body to your lower body. Keep your cylinder, you know, shoulders over your hips, over your ankles. Yeah, it would have a lot to do there.
Oh, no, the core. Yeah, he mentioned the four-letter word, the core. We're going to talk about that next time when we can bug Kai to come back on the show, but he's always welcome, and he's always a great guest, as you can well tell. Years ago, I'm trying to remember, was it the Academy? I'm trying to, you know, I suffer from CRS, so...
2007.
2007 is when we first met?
Yeah, 7 or 8, I would say. 7, we opened the Academy, so you came by, you know, fairly early.
Yeah, that's a must have seen. That's why I leave it to other people to tell me what I did. Because a lot of things I can remember, but if it's further back, then that's 2007. That's pretty crazy. I don't know. But anyway, let's get out of here. Kai, it's been great to have you on the show. Kai Fuser, indeed. You call him the golf fitness specialist. You can tell him a golf movement coach. Just call him. That's what he would have wants. But get out there and practice your game. Take it to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.